Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A bit of the old razzle-dazzle, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. My name is Marcus C. Speller.
I am devastating wits Jim Campbell.
Luke here. Oh, a little bit of the Donny.
Oh, a welcome return to that nonsense beater.
Yeah. Something that Luke shouted every 3 seconds on the Football Ramble Daily Tour, I seem to recall, to excruciating effect.
Yeah.
Tour managers were disgusted. Our US managerial team were annoyed.
I don't care what effect it was, as long as it had an effect.
Yeah.
You just want to be part of the conversation, don't you, Luke?
Yeah, listen, I don't care what role I play, just as long as I'm involved.
As long as he's got a role, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Well, boys and girls, we've only got to suffer the Bundesliga another few weeks, so let's talk about that nonsense.
How rude.
No, we love the Bundesliga. I'm only joking for anybody who doesn't understand that. Kai Havertz became the first Bundesliga player to reach 35 goals before turning 21. I like those records where they say, oh, he scored a few goals quite young, but oh, someone's already done 100. They did that then, and blah, 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 blah. So they kind of just move the goalposts. He's the first guy to have 17 assists by the age of 19 and 6 months.
Yeah, you can do a pretty good run in how impressive the record is, because it directly correlates with how specific it is.
Yeah,
if it's just right. if it's really, really broad, like he has scored the most goals ever, and it's impressive, and it gets less impressive the more specific it becomes. So now if we get to the point where he's the first kid called Kai to score, I mean, obviously the next one will be Wayne Rooney's son, to score this amount of goals. And it's kind of oddly specific and less impressive, but he is a brilliant player, and I don't think anyone in their right mind would ever tire of watching him play.
No. Yeah, I was going to say, can you stop knocking our beloved homegrown Kai, please, actually?
Yeah, sorry mate.
Mm. Yeah, but you must be very pleased, Jim, that he's got to the 35 goals. He's reached that famous milestone before the age of 21.
Yeah, I'm pleased. I'm pleased for both myself and all the other fans of the company's 11, but also for football fans in general, because it's always exciting to see a talent like this emerge, isn't it? And Germany's pretty good at pumping them out. But even within that context, he's an exciting talent, and it's a bright spark at the moment.
Is that what they do over in Germany? Do they pump them out?
Pump them out.
Yeah. Like, so basically in England, where you see like a player comes through slowly in an academy and maybe he moves on loan for a bit, and then in James Sancho's case, he goes overseas to kind of find his feet, and boy, has he done that. In Germany, they just literally, it's a massive cannon. They just pump them out of it.
Yeah. straight onto the pitch, just
fully
straight
formed
in there. Yeah,
I think what I like about Kai Havertz is he seems to be able to just that goal against Freiburg. He sort of squeezed it in, if you see what I mean. He manages to just get so the slightest of touches, and he squeezes the ball in. It's a slip and a squeeze is what's going on at Bayer Leverkusen.
It was also very brave.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because slips, squeezes and bravery are all ingredients that go into the pump.
Yeah.
dial them up to 11.
Yeah.
I would like to turn this conversation in a serious footballing direction. I enjoy the name Kai because I always forget the word in Japanese to buy something, which is kaimasu. And I always use Kai Havertz as a way of remembering this. So there you go.
So that's you taking it back to serious football conversation.
Exactly.
Jim, were you unscrewing a water bottle there, or was that one of the pumps?
were you unloading a seal on the pump?
Yeah, I was absolutely unloading a seal at the pump. A diehard Bundesliga fan, we've been sent pumps to experiment with just so there's a sort of, you know, 360 degree view on how all this works. They're very efficient, very, very good.
Jim, I mean, I will give you the same pelt as I gave Luke with his Nalgene bottle. Your bottle seems to be even louder and more metallic. Yeah. What's going on there?
It's a Chili's. It's a Chili's pump.
For centuries, we've had cups. Don't worry about it. Undo the top of your bottle. The water's not going to suddenly go off. It's fine. All right. You know the use by dates on plastic bottles. The use by date is for the plastic. The water never goes off. Just leave it open to the elements. Don't worry about it.
Is this more serious football chat,
Pete? If you see like a container with water in it that's been there for months, don't drink that.
I'll drink it.
If there's anything we take from that, don't drink it. The water can very much go stale.
If I see a cup of brown liquid in the shed, I'll drink it. I'll drink it. Best case scenario is going to be some kind of fence covering.
For those who are new to the show and they're listening for the first time and want to know exactly when Football Ramble Daily became an airing of grievances, it was probably around about 2012. Before that, there was quite a lot of football chat.
yeah, it was. But congratulations to Kai Havertz and congratulations to Leverkusen as well, beating Freiburg 1-0. Is that really an achievement in 2020, though?
Yeah, I'd say without fans.
Well, Freiburg are quite kind of mendacious. They're quite kind of stubborn, Freiburg. Anyway, people only seem to beat them kind of narrowly. I saw them earlier this season at Dortmund, and Dortmund kind of laboured to a win a bit. I realise that's a sample size of one, and now against Leverkusen, a sample size of two, but I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why if you're going to beat them, you're going to have to beat them with a brave squeeze, and Bayern managed to do that.
Exactly, Jim.
True.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can only squeeze them in against Freiburg. But you mentioned Dortmund there, Luke, your beloved Dortmund. They won 6-1 away at Paderborn. I thought to myself, oh, you can do it when it's not Bayern, eh?
Yeah, I can enjoy my weekend because my beloved Dortmund actually won. And Jadon Sancho was on breathtakingly good form, but it is worth mentioning that Paderborn's, I mean, big Andy Brass is a fan of saying this. Paderborn's budget is quite derisory. They're not realistically ever going to be able to compete in the top flight with the budget they've got. So, Borussia Dortmund did do the job. They did it well, and it was a convincing win. But it's sort of a bit like when a Premier League team plays a Championship team in the FA Cup or whatever. It's almost a bit, well, if you don't beat them, you look ridiculous. And I think I'm right. So it seems like it was about 5 years ago now. But I think they came pretty close, Borussia Dortmund, to not beating Paderborn in the first game between the two sides, which put a lot of pressure on Lucien Favre at the time. So they've obviously turned the corner on that note.
Stop making excuses for Paderborn, mate. I mean, I know they're bottom of the league, but you get what you pay for, cheap little mugs.
Yeah. Oh, they are absolute muck. They are muck.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Turn up to the, we haven't got any money. Well, don't join then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, get some Saudis.
It's the high rollers table. Get out.
Yeah.
That is the spirit of football, Jim. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, completely. Absolutely. I'm all for modern football, personally. But to be fair to Paderborn as well, it was 0-0 at half time.
It was
a weird game, actually, for it to end up being 6-1.
Dortmund missed a hatful of chances, but you're absolutely right. There was six goals, sort of fairly late-ish, relatively speaking, but they did get one.
Weirdly enough, I've just checked, and it was 3-0 in the first game between those two teams as well. So.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, very weird. I mean, Hargreaves did that thing, and he's not alone in this, so I'm not singling him out, but he's just the last person I've heard say it, where he said that Jadon Sancho is like a frightening talent. It's like, frightening? But don't you like football? Isn't that good? I've never been frightened by a player.
The reason ex-players say that is because their most recent memory of playing the game professionally is probably when they're a bit too old and they couldn't do it anymore.
A bit creepy.
And particularly Owen Hargreaves. I mean, imagine Owen, bless him, amazing player, a great career, but his knees towards the end were in a really terrible state. And it's not a laughing matter, of course, because his career was cut short.
Do you remember the YouTube compilation of his training, though? That was kind of funny.
Yeah, Michael Owen did one of those as well, didn't he? But imagine Owen playing against poor Owen Hargreaves playing against Jadon Sancho in like the final season of his career. He's probably having nightmares just thinking about the prospect of it.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Bayern gubbed Fortuna Dusseldorf 5-0 on their way an eighth straight Bundesliga win, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, I sort of, in a weird way, I hadn't forgotten about Robert Lewandowski, because that would be ridiculous. But if you remember a few seasons ago when there was chat that he was going to go to Real Madrid and he seemed to have kind of thrown in the towel a little bit at Dortmund, at Bayern, sorry. Well, he did at Dortmund as well, but at Bayern. and then you look at his goal tally this season and you're like, oh yeah, no, he's still one of the best strikers on the continent.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
I think he's probably the best striker in the world, personally.
Yeah, there you are, you see.
Yeah, he's just got all kinds of finishes, and it's just got that sort of dead-eyed ruthlessness that's so important, isn't it, for those players that get those huge, huge numbers. And isn't he on the way to potentially equaling Gerd Müller's record?
Yeah, I think there's talk of him breaking the record for a single season in the Bundesliga or in German football, I think. But the way I've been approaching watching German football since it's come back has been, obviously you can't watch every single game, but you kind of prioritise the games you'd quite like to see. And then in retrospect, you look back at the highlights of the games and stuff, because you can't watch all of them. If Bayern Munich win by a margin of some 4 goals or more, I just don't bother. No point.
Every single thing's
exactly the same every time. It's just depressing. So I didn't watch this game, so deal with it.
One of the things I'm finding really interesting about the empty stadium thing with Bayern Munich in particular is that they're still doing the music when they score a goal. And at the moment, I know they used to have Seven Nation Army, but at the moment they have the Offenbach song, the famous Can-Can music, which sounds particularly smug. But like in this case, the first goal was an own goal. And I think the only way you could make that worse would be if you had the Curb Your Enthusiasm music. Like it's ridiculous.
Anything with a trombone in it should not be near football, I think.
Yeah. What was that song they...
Apart from maybe Nobby Solano.
That's a good point, actually.
At Middlesbrough and a few others. Dan, 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 dan. Dan, 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 dan.
Yeah,
surely it's about time that one brought work.
What's it called? Is it called Reach Up or something like that?
Pete knows, he's the DJ.
Yeah, it's absolute. It used to be played quite a lot at the Roller Disco in Hartlepool Millhouse Leisure Centre. So if that clears anything up, you've got that piece of information now.
When you say it was played quite a lot, was it like every hour on the hour?
Well, the Roller Disco used to start at 10 in the morning and end at like 4 in the afternoon, and you would just kind of come in and come out. I'd be out there for days. I'm an excellent roller skater.
I'm sure you are. Well, thank Peter, your Hertha Berlin boys got a nice win against Augsburg 2-0.
Yeah.
So just more points.
More points. Clean sheet for Jarstein, obviously, and with news that Karius might be going to Berlin. Unwelcome when you just kept a clean sheet.
Ah, don't have a go at Karius. He suffered enough.
Well, he went out to Turkey, didn't he? And Beşiktaş opted not to pay his wages, which is an interesting move from a football club. So he's back at Liverpool. And he's leaving in the summer. Still only 26. And I think we said after his Champions League mess up a couple of years ago, he's still got some years in him. So go easy.
The thing is, he was concussed in that game. People don't talk about that. He was. People talk about it as if he made two these like, but if he made two absolute howlers, and of course he sort of did. But in the context of that, it's not really. That's not the game his career should be judged against. And unfortunately for him, it seems to be.
Do Herter need him though? Is the question.
Yeah.
And can I just jump in and say that you know, when it comes to Liverpool though, the players and the managers and the, no one walks alone. So Karius will have the genuine heartfelt warmth of the Liverpool community to support him throughout his career, because when you've ever played for Liverpool or managed them, no one walks alone. So it's you have that to keep him going.
Yeah, big talk from a man in his house right now.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'm not allowed to be anywhere else.
If we were doing this to see if people could find you.
Luke has a point, and perhaps Karius couldn't. Can, you know, have a cup of tea with Roy Hodgson and talk about that.
Exactly.
I'm only joking. Right, what about, let's go back to old England, eh? 20,000 fans, 20,000 of the buggers could be allowed into Wembley for the FA Cup final on the 1st of August. Now, this could only occur if the infection rate drops below 0.5. In Spain and Italy, they're working on plans slowly to get fans back into stadiums. So Pete, I'm quite pleased to hear this, because You could still see your beloved Newcastle United lift the trophy at Wembley on the 1st of August.
Yeah, because Wembley Cup finals are notable in how many tickets they release to different fans. So to make that number even smaller, 20,000.
Yeah, 18,000 to go to the corporates.
Yeah. With Marcus.
At least you can social distance there.
Yeah. Oh, there'll be hundreds of people watching the start of the second half.
Exactly. You're right. Yeah, interesting. But I mean, obviously Newcastle have to get past Manchester City first at task. Which obviously, I mean, God knows what people are going to be like coming back, and God knows when the FA Cup fixtures are actually going to be played. But I'm excited. Watching to see Newcastle United win something.
We're all very excited.
Well, I believe they're all going to be played as part of Project Zeus. They're all going to be played towards the end of July, aren't they? With a final on the 1st of August. I believe that's how it's scheduled at the moment.
I missed that information. Thanks, NUFC.com. Keep me in the dark, and then the light, and then the dark, and then the light. That's how a show works.
Exactly. The Championship is also set to resume on the 20th of June, so good news there. I think Jules and Andy are going to go into that in more depth tomorrow. But that's encouraging news, certainly. And if you're a West Ham fan, this is very encouraging news as well, because apparently Davy Moyes and his merry men have been training in full kits at the London Stadium to get used to playing without fans there. And I suppose at the London Stadium...
The project they started 3 years ago.
Listen, the only way they'll know is if there's any fans in the stadium or not, is when one of them invades the pitch and throws a season ticket in Mark Noble's face. That's the only way they're going to know.
That could help West Ham, couldn't it, if they've not got the fans there, because they won't have all those distractions.
Yeah. It'll be a net positive for them.
Yeah. No one's going to be throwing dildos around and stuff.
Oh, dearie me. But yeah, I like the fact that David Moyes is being taking all the precautions necessary, because, and he's back in London. We know he's been delivering food to old people in up his home near Lancashire. So I think David Moyes is... Has come across very well in this.
He's had a good PR lockdown. It could only have been better. The Queen apparently has appeared for the first time since lockdown in the last couple of hours.
Oh, she's upstaged him
on a horse. She's on a horse. So if Davy Moyes could go back into the stadium on a fine steed, that's the only way his PR
would
be any higher right now.
That'd be wicked.
David Moyes and the Queen trying to upstage each other. Pandemic. Who would have thought?
Love it.
To be fair to David Moyes, though, I'd want to avoid that, because if you're David Moyes on a horse, people might think, is that pestilence? That's the last thing we need.
Does Moyes look a bit like the COVID virus? I think he might do.
Chicharito gave an interview this week where he said that Moyes was too stubborn to succeed at Man United. He was like, there's nothing against him, lovely guy, but you know, he changed too much. I thought, come on, why is everyone sniping at David Moyes? That's for one thing, that's my thing.
Oh, dear. Did anybody see that Nick Pope has said he'd like to become England number one at some point, but knows it'll be tough getting the shirt off Pickford? Nicky Pope being interviewed. He was the third choice keeper during the World Cup, of course, and he said, despite not playing a minute, to be part of it was one of the greatest things of his life. I thought that was a lovely quote.
It was a really sweet thing for him to say. Like, he comes across really well, doesn't he, Nick Pope? He seems like a really sweet guy. But it would have been hard for him to take the number one jersey off Pickford anyway, because obviously Gareth Southgate's number one choice. It's particularly hard when there are literally no games being played. So he didn't go into detail about how he would go about doing it.
A home invasion, Home Alone style romp, possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
Burnley have kept 11 clean sheets this season. Only Liverpool have kept more with 12. So they've been impressive. And there has been a bit of chat with Nick Pope. But with Henderson coming through at Sheffield United, he could be one of those unlucky keepers. Because I think he's about 28 now, Nick Pope. He's no spring chicken, but he's still got years ahead of him, of course, especially being a goalkeeper. So he might be one of those in-betweeners.
One of the things that's really kind of interesting about goalkeepers, particularly England goalkeepers in recent years, is how quickly they seem to be able to descend down the pecking order, and they almost, in some cases, not disappear, but just become they find themselves in a position where they are just nowhere near it. I mean, Paul Robertson's form kind of dropped off a cliff. Joe Hart and Jack Butland. Now, I know Jack Butland's came through a series of quite difficult injuries, and then he didn't move on from Stoke when they were relegated. But it just goes to show you how quickly the situation can change if you're a goalkeeper, right?
You're right. I think that it must be terribly frustrating for a goalkeeper, someone like Butland, who was number two at the World Cup, of course, and now he's not even in thought process, probably, when a lot of England fans won't be considered. But I suppose it's bad news for the individual, but good news for the England fans, because there is that pool of talent coming through. You know, as I say, with Henderson and Pope, the more players you have vying for positions, the better it is. So I think I'm sort of trying to, you know, take a positive spin on that and think, the wider context is England are producing a few more players in that area than perhaps in the previous sort of couple of seasons, where it was very much Joe Hart's position for a number of years. And he did well, maybe not so much towards the end. But now you have a few more goalkeepers knocking around.
Well, Marcus, Aaron Ramsdale as well, don't forget, under-21 keeper, pace performance.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, yeah. So David James is probably in there. as well. So I think the situation is quite healthy, but it is a shame for someone like Butland. But if Butland, but the door's never shut for somebody like him, so maybe he can play his way.
The door's never shutland.
No, exactly.
Do you think as well that, strangely, in terms of Nick Pope's ambitions, I mean, you know, this isn't a good situation for anybody, what's happening now, but certainly the timing for him could end up being positive, because he may get some version of a season to try and stake a claim over Pickford, which he probably wouldn't have been able to do that before the Euros had they gone ahead. But now we've seen Jordan Pickford be fairly inconsistent, and he's got that time to dislodge him potentially.
Jim, I think there's a universal truth when it comes to the football as it's pertained to this situation, is the idea that for a lot of older players, the fact that the Euros have been pushed back by a year could be an absolute disaster. It means they might not get a chance to be selected, because it'd be another year down the line. But of course, for a lot of younger players, or players that are trying to stake their claim, it's great stuff. I mean, like for Jadon Sancho, for example, to keep hitting the form he's hitting over another year, I mean, it's unimaginable that he wouldn't be a starter for England. Now, would he be a starter for England every week this summer? Marcus, you're the expert here, but probably not, right? So it affects players in different ways depending on what stage of their career they're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Harry Kane's benefited, because he's now going to have much more time, you know. I'm quite hopeful for the injured Tom Heaton to get that number 22.
I am staggered it's taken so long for him to get a mention in this conversation.
Get Heaton in there. I tell you what, he's Heaton's obviously a little bit older than some of these goalkeepers, but when he either retires from international football or from football in maybe a few years, then that number three, you don't have a number three jersey. That's more of a fullback. I'm trying to think of the number three goalkeeper jersey.
He's a little bit older. He's 12 years older than Aaron Ramsdale.
Yeah. In geographical sense, that's
experience.
You know, that's just a little bit. Yeah, he's got a lot of experience. Staying with Burnley players, according to reports, AC Milan are interested in signing Burnley's Jeff Hendrick on a free transfer this summer.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened there is that someone's been playing one of those random transfer generators on Facebook.
Okay.
And they just put Jeff Hendrick's name in. That's, I mean, good on him. That's what I say. I don't want to deride him. Good, honest pro. Not a bad player by any stretch of the imagination. Being linked with AC Milan, that is dream stuff. Good on him. I can't think of anything negative to say about that, and I don't want to either.
All right. Does anybody want to say anything negative on it?
No, I would add some positive things, which is that we know that strangely, or it certainly seemed strange at the time, that they AC Milan were sniffing around Anthony Robinson, weren't they, who plays for Wigan. So they are certainly looking to sign players from England, and perhaps that's part of a wider transfer strategy. So maybe Jeff Hendrick will get his move. I'd love that. We'd all love that, right?
I think we would. I think Jeff Hendrick in particular would like that.
Yeah.
But I think also that Luke's shout of Milan using some sort of transfer generator thing does seem to be on point, actually. So we'll see. Gentlemen, I'd like to end the first half of this ramble with a bit of chat from Albert Morgan, Manchester United's legendary kit man, who's been telling a few tales from his time at the club. He was there from 1993 to 2013, a loyal servant to Manchester United, and of course, Sir Alex Ferguson himself. And he told this story, which I thought was very much up Ramble Street, Ramble Alley, if you will. Apparently in 2010, during an away trip to Sunderland, Manchester United travelled there, a sewage pipe burst in the away dressing room, which caused the kickoff to become delayed. Now, he said that when they first went into the dressing room, there was like a bucket in the corner of the dressing room with a little bit of a drip going on. And they were like, okay, that's a bit, okay, fine. And then they went out to do a pre-match warm-up. And then someone said to Albert Morgan, oh, you better come in and see this. This is quite bad. The bucket had filled up quite a bit by this point, and then they'd switched it for a bin, you know, a bigger container. And as they were there, he said, suddenly one of the ceiling tiles just burst out. Shit everywhere. The gaffer just got out. I love the thought of Sir Alex seeing sewage, seeing shit everywhere, just ducking out the door. He said it was all over the suits, the clothes, up the walls, up the ceiling. Oh. Berbatov was going mad about his shoes that had just sunk in 3 inches. This was 10 minutes before kickoff.
I love this, Marcus, because, you know, there's long been a tradition in Football League history of people making away dressing rooms being sort of less than salubrious environments for people, like turning the heating up in the summer, turning the heating off in the winter, making the water cold. Sunderland have just taken it up a notch. We are going to cover them in human shit. That's what we're going to do.
Stadium of shite.
You know it wasn't gamesmanship because of what Morgan went on to say what happened next. Steve Bruce comes in a door at the back of
Brucey.
The dressing room. I love that. There's like a secret door. Brucey just arrives. He had this brush. It must have been 14 foot wide. And there's big Brucey coming in at the back, just shoveling this shit out of the dressing room.
Why is he doing that? Like, how did he 10 know? Minutes before kickoff or whatever it is. What? Surely there's someone else at the club who can take care of that.
He's hands on. That's why he does a good job wherever he goes, Jim.
It's just a gigantic metaphor, isn't it?
Yeah, it really, really is. It's almost not even trying.
It's a gigantic man with a gigantic brush and a gigantic metaphor.
Fortunately, Manchester United had a spare kit, so they were okay.
Yeah.
Played out a 0-0.
Is Brucey just sort of turning into some sort of Kevin Keegan character, or has he always been one? And have we just not really noticed quite how striking the similarities are?
Jim, this is the man who played for Manchester United for many years, won trophies with them when they were clearly the best team in the land. He was a big part of that centre-back and never got an England call-up. He's very much the young Kevin Keegan.
Yeah, 19 goals one season, Marcus. 19 goals. As a
too many for a defender, not getting in the squad. Can't trust him.
Stick to what you're good at.
Yeah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs.
Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Luke, give us some Patreon chat, old boy.
Yes, keen-eared listeners, eagle-eared listeners. Is it eagle-eared? That's eagle-eyed, isn't it? Wolf-eared listeners will know that we ran a Patreon competition on Friday on the preview show, and I'm very, very pleased to announce that the winner, who came from the Friend of the Ramble tier this month of our Patreon competition and a Sonos Move Smart speaker, is David Gleese. Congratulations to you, David. We'll be in touch. Well done, Gleeso. We'll be in touch and get the Sonos Move Smart speaker out to you. There'll be another competition for Patreon subscribers this month. So make sure you sign up, patreon.com/footballrambledaily. There's loads of content on there. It's I think there was 14 or 15 pieces over the last few weeks. Videos, Marcus doing a vlog, extra shows, all sorts of stuff. Ad-free rambles as well. So patreon.com/footballrambledaily for your chance to win a great prize this month and also avail yourself of all that extra stuff.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for emails with PTD.
Email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
Oh, it's a good section. Hello to Jack, kicking off proceedings with, Hi, guys. The only way to spice up the fanless Premier League game. We talked about discussing ideas to make the Premier League games more engaging on TV with a return behind closed doors. There is only one answer, according to Jack Lockett. His time has come. Mic'd up, Mike Dean. End of discussion. Goodbye.
Yes.
Enjoyable.
Yeah, the clue's in the name.
It really is, yeah. Dean. Mic him up. Mike the Dean. I wonder what the referee situation is going to be. Which one they're going to go for? Are they going to ref loads of games not at the same time? That would be ridiculous, although I wouldn't put it past them with the incredibly weird organisational skills the Premier League seems to have when it comes to VAR. How's it all going to work? Obviously, we're not coming back with VAR, are we? So, I don't know. Confusing. Oh, Patrick. Peter. Patrick's got in touch. Morning, Ramblers. I was reading the article of Forbes 100 highest paid athletes in the world for 2020, and Oscar is number 54 playing in China, and that is frankly absurd. That's why he's still out there. That's why he's not coming back.
Oh, yeah, because we talked about Oscar, didn't we, a number of weeks ago.
We did. Why he's not coming back. Because it's not, I think we said it's not a one-way street anymore. People can come back and play for some pretty decent clubs. But, that's why he's still out there. Michael Judson says, apparently the Keegan Baywatch situation was a lie. It was like some fake facts that somebody had put out online. He wasn't on Baywatch. He didn't ask Pamela Anderson anything. So I'm a little bit gutted about that, to be honest, because that would kind of... Because it's inexplicable. that in 2020 we are able to uncover new Kevin Keegan facts, and I thought that was going to be one of them, and I'm a little bit disappointed.
Yeah,
by
yeah, and it also shows something that regular listeners have known for a long time, which is that we do not check anything that comes in that inbox. We just read it out.
Oh, yes. And moving on from that, Firas has got in touch. Just a quick minor correction not regarding the professional leagues and capital cities you mentioned. The very first league was in 1932 under the Israeli League is when it started. However, it was actually the Palestinian League, officially called the Palestinian League before the State of Israel arrived. Obviously, did not exist before 48. It's only fair to call the first league to start in 1932 the Palestinian League and not the Israeli League. Thanks, Firas. I could not read that email out faster and step away from the fucker. But thank you very much for your email. It's important to allow everyone to speak at times like this. shortfootballrambledaily.com. I will read everything out. I will not fact check. Oh my God, let's end the section.
Damn right. And I will love it if we beach them. Love it.
You beach them?
Sorry, me.
Baywatch,
oh,
isn't it?
Baywatch. Oh, I've just got
can
it. Right.
Can
okay,
we...
good.
Can I just jump in with something that I forgot to mention earlier when we're talking about German football?
Cool.
Is there was an amazing piece of commentary in the Borussia Dortmund game where Jadon Sancho scores his hat-trick goal. And if you guys remember, it was a breakaway and there were 2-on-1. It was Sancho and Hazard. And there was one Paderborn defender and, of course, the goalkeeper. And Sancho kind of gives the goalkeeper the eyes, makes like he's going to pass and just puts it in the bottom corner. Mm-hmm. And the co-commentator, I think it might have been our friend Owen Hargreaves again, he just said an amazing thing where he just analyses the goal on the replay and goes, yeah, I mean, I think he probably made the right decision there. I mean, the ball's in the back of the net.
Literally the point of the game, Owen.
So, yeah, what possible better outcome could there have been to that?
Yeah. Oh, dear. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Pete's Film Club.
It is time for Pete's Film Club, and my word, I enjoyed this one. The film this week that we watched last night was Diamantino, and it was all about a Portuguese soccer hunk in the World Cup finals, going from superstar to laughingstock overnight after missing a penalty. His sheltered worldview gets further shattered after learning about the European refugee crisis, and he resolves to make amends by adopting an African refugee, only to find that his new son is actually an undercover female tax auditor investigating him on suspicion of corruption. From there, Diamantino gets swept up in an odyssey involving twins, his sisters, and a Secret Service bit of skullduggery. Oh my word, what a film.
Falta um minuto para o fim do Campeonato do Mundo. Se Diamantino marcar, vamos a fundo! Se Zeus do Relvado envia um relâmpago diretamente a cada um dos espectadores.
E é verdade. E acho que algo maravilhoso acontecia quando ele jogava. Tudo se fendia. E era só ele.
I don't know about you lads, but I fucking enjoyed this one.
Yeah. I mean, so I've found it very difficult to work out whether it's because I've got some kind of Stockholm syndrome relating to this section of the show now.
Yep.
Because we were talking about it before we came on and said that we must have done 9 or 10 of these by now, and a lot of them have been bad. But I actually quite enjoyed this. And I'll give you a few reasons as to why, and I'll try not to spoil it, because for the first time, possibly the second time, but I guess everyone's seen Goal anyway. So for the first time, I would be fine to recommend this just because it's such a lot of fun. So I don't want to spoil people too much. But I liked it because the main guy is so clearly and brazenly based on Cristiano Ronaldo, which is very enjoyable.
How did they get away with that?
Secondly, I liked it because it was surreal and it kept you guessing, and it used quite a lot of kind of abstract and surrealist imagery to keep you interested, and it did it in quite a clever way. I won't tell people how, but the way they solved the problem of making an actor look like a footballer on the screen, I thought was really clever and like really interesting. I thought there was some decent enough acting in it, particularly from the two twins. I didn't think the main guy was a very good actor, but the two twins, he was fine, but the two twins were funny. And the plot, I mean, let's just say they pack a lot in. So you haven't got time. You haven't got time to wonder about whether the plot's like realistic or you're going to go along with it or not, because it just changes so often, so consistently. And also, it was genuinely funny and quite observant and quite satirical. And I genuinely thought it was quite successful at all those things. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was this film made a little bit of an impact at the Cannes Film Festival, I think, 2 years ago as well. So it's
because I'd never heard of it.
No, I never heard of it either. But it's an actual film. I think because Goal
the
3,
production levels are decent, aren't they?
They are. But Goal 3, when you watch that, it makes you angry. That's how bad it was. And as you say, some of the other tosh that we've watched has been ridiculous, and it's been miserable. This felt like an actual film, even though it was absolutely mental. I mean, there's a review of this film in The Guardian, which gave it 3 stars out of 5. And I'm just going to read a line at the start, which just says the bizarre bonkersness of it all. He grows breasts, adopts a child refugee, and inadvertently becomes the poster boy for a Vote Leave campaign in a fictional EU referendum. Like I said, barking.
Couple of spoilers there, Marcus. We weren't going to reveal the fact that Cristiano Ronaldo grows breasts, but we're going to put that in anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, but is that a spoiler, though?
No, that gets people want to watch it more. People exactly, are going to want to watch it more.
This is a film review. I am quoting a film review on The Guardian where they will be encouraging people to watch the film rather than giving away spoilers. And so this is what I mean. Like, it's just absolutely mental. Straight from the off, I was laughing out loud because he's on the football pitch, and the football scenes are done okay. I mean, it's very. I think we're agreed that unless you literally have an actor jumping into a professional match and they use the actual footage, it's very difficult to get it realistic. But they were okay. But he has this sort of thing where, and again, this is straight from the off, he's playing football, and when it all begins to click with him, he visualizes these massive, as he refers to them over the English subtitles, fluffy puppies appear, like loads of them, ginormous things, and they're all running around him, and he just forgets where he is. And like, I was just like, what the bloody hell is this? But that kind of set the tone for it. So, I mean, I finished the film and I thought, I've never taken hallucinogenic drugs, but I feel like I have now.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it as well. I think, you know, people, you talk about it potentially being a spoiler, the breast thing, but I think when people heard that you'd had your sweat glands lasered off, they weren't considering that a spoiler. They were going, I would like to know more about that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think this is a similar thing, isn't it? And I have to say, Luke, I actually quite like the guy that played Diamantino, because he had a sort of childlike quality to him, didn't he? Which was very, very deliberate. And I thought the thing that was so impressive about the movie was that the humour in it was so offbeat. And despite the fact that it was so overtly strange and very deliberately surreal, as you say, the humour was actually very subtle within it as well. Mm. And the twins who played his sisters were brilliant. They were absolute monsters, and they played that really, really well. And, you know, it was like it had one foot in the sort of art house, but then another kind of toe in the line of B-movies almost. And all of that was deliberate. All of it was very, very, you know, it's a very well-controlled and well-executed movie. And it just, the plot unraveled in a strange way that kept you guessing. And I'm still thinking about it now. I'm still unpacking what certain bits mean, which is a sign of a satisfying movie experience, if you ask me. And it had points to make about a lot of different things, be that sort of, you know, the rise of the manipulative rise of right wing politics, of the refugee crisis, and a lot of gender issues as well. And I thought, fair play. And it's not really a football movie, is it? But that's you know, it's better for it. It's taken a symbol of opulence, which in this case would be a footballer, and thrust him down into very real world issues through basically the narrative, but also his character, which was. It was really good. Watch it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, there were some parts in it that really reminded me of a movie called Holy Motors, which I said to you, Jim, during the week, I think. Yeah. I mean, it's not as good as that. And Leos Carax, who made Holy Motors, is like a celebrated kind of surrealist like French film director. So I'm not saying it's as good as that. I found Holy Motors absolutely baffling for like the first 15 or 20 minutes. And I really sort of went along with it after that. And it was fascinating and interesting and really rewarding. And it's sort of the aesthetic of it really reminded me of that. I didn't think it was as successful as that or as good as that, but it was definitely in that tradition. And I just thought it was really a really brave movie. Like, there's loads of different things, as Jim's alluded to, that's been discussed, like quite sensitive issues, quite weird issues as well in some cases, that are difficult to navigate. And I did it in a kind of light, interesting way. I for the first time in this film club, I felt like I've been enriched after watching a movie. Put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, well, that's obviously your opinion, so I can't argue with that. But I still think it was like baffling nonsense.
Oh, it was. It was all those things, Mark. It definitely was that as well.
I think you're right, though, when you said at the start, is this some sort of weird sort of, I don't know, almost like Stockholm Syndrome thing? We're in Pete's film club and we're just crying. I mean, I think it was good that we watched this off the back of Goal 3.
That was definitely in my thinking as well, because Pete's basically metaphorically chained us to a radiator with this film club for the last 10 weeks. So any kind of chink of light, I'm going to welcome with open arms.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was watching it with a loved one, and they went, "This is going to end up a bit Woody Allen-y," and I went, "No, it's not." And it did end like that. So thank you very much.
There's your spoiler.
The person who Woody Allen's done a lot of different things. Could be what any one of them.
Oh, that's
terrible
true,
things he's done. if thank you to the person who nominated that one. That was a real surprise and a lot of fun. And I think we are heartily recommending this film, Diamantino. Check it out from last year. Beautifully shot. Some of the most beautiful parts of Portugal laid bare. It really is amazing, and I cannot believe they managed to get this caricature of Cristiano Ronaldo off the ground without getting into all kinds of legal hot water.
And you know as well, you know that Ronaldo
will have seen it. He'll deny
that he's seen it and go, I don't know, I've never even heard of it. And he's fuming.
Do you know how they got him to watch it? They said the lead in it is he looks a lot like you, and I think he's based on you, but he's in better shape than you. And he's like, straight on there.
He walks around with a Messi kit on. One thing, actually, just very, very quickly, the funniest thing, and this shows the football fan in me, that I was a bit like, well, that's a load of nonsense. Firstly, they changed the colours of the Portugal kit to blue and white. And then they said, oh, Portugal in the final, this is right at the start of the film, in the final of the 2018 World Cup. I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, fair enough. They're playing Sweden in the final. Pick a different team.
Yeah. It's the most unrealistic thing about it.
A lot of green and white kind of hoops at the stadium as well, so it was clear where it was actually filmed.
At Sporting,
But it was beautiful. Right, are you guys ready for next week's film?
I'm ready for football to come back.
Nick Muldoon from Buffalo, New York. Just a suggestion for Pete's film club, The Big Green. The Big Green. Steve Guttenberg, plays a local Texas sheriff who becomes a kid's soccer coach to try and impress the new sexy British teacher at the local school. Can Steve Guttenberg, motivate this ragtag group of kids to become the best little league soccer team in West Texas? Will Steve Guttenberg win the teacher's heart? And why does the soccer team have a pet goat? Find out in the only Disney-produced film to ever earn 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, The Big Green.
You have me at Steve Guttenberg.
We're back to playing for keeps, aren't we? That's what we are.
Oh, yeah. Sounds very keepsian.
You know, the Hollywood golden rule of the 1980s among productions was that if you can't afford Ted Danson, pick up the phone to Steve Guttenberg.
Nice. They did both in Three Men and a Little Lady, didn't they?
Well, that's why it was such a hit. Baby?
Yeah, then they broke the rule.
Incredible. Yeah. Lovely old job. Can't wait.
The Big Green. The Big Green, ladies and gentlemen.
Does anyone check the runtime?
99 minutes.
Well done, mate.
Straight on there. You are pathetic, Marcus.
Jesus.
You are
Christ.
Michael Owen.
Yeah, you are Michael Owen, aren't you? Bless you.
Yeah. Because I really wanted Goal 3 to go on for another 45 minutes. You prat.
We've now watched more movies in this film club than Michael Owen has watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another reason why we're better.
Unless he's playing along, unlikely.
He tweeted something about he bought a bike the other day and went on a 25-mile cycle ride, and he got back and he was really knackered. He was like, oh, I don't think I'll do that again. It's like, would you used to play professional football. Surely that's...
Yeah.
Anyway, bless him. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've come to the end of our time for today's football ramble. It's been a pleasure having you with us. Andy and Jules will be back tomorrow talking about the championship resuming on the 20th of June and lots more. So do listen in to that. We had the latest episode of the book club was released yesterday with Kate Mason hosting with Luke and Andy talking through the book Soccernomics, or which used to be called Why England Lose. So get your ears around that. A fascinating listen, I think you will agree. Until next time, though, say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell. Goodbye. Say goodbye, PPD.
I would not like to bless my cologne.
And it's goodbye for me.
This was a Stakhanov production.